Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. Here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd love to discuss it with you. Again, the toll-free number, 800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen, take part, and learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. In this spiritual warfare, we've been equipped with some armor, and that armor consists of six different things. And today we're going to talk about the helmet of salvation. And I think this is a significant piece of the armor. Why? Because it protects the head. And that's where we get all confused, and that's where we get into trouble with our thinking, what we think about each and every day. I know for me, in much of my Christian life early on, in my head, I was thinking all kinds of crazy stuff as far as my salvation was concerned. I didn't know if it had taken or not. I didn't know if I had to say the prayer again or not. I don't know if I had to commit to doing more things or not. And I had a lot of confusion going on up there in between these two ears of mine. And finally, it hit me what salvation was. And when I really learned what salvation was and what Jesus Christ had actually done for me, then I became secure in who I was in Christ and who I am in Christ. And this helmet of salvation is so vitally important for each and every one of us. I know most people think of salvation in terms of forgiveness, that Christ died for our sins, so that we can be forgiven and we can have a place in heaven when we die. That's the extent of what salvation is in most people's understanding. But that's not salvation. That's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus came so that we might have life. And you see that theme repeated time and time and time again in the New Testament, specifically in the Gospel of John. It would be an interesting study for you to do, to go through the book of John and just circle every time John uses the word life. And I think when you do and you go back and you see it, you will get the overall message of the gospel. We were dead spiritually. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. When they sinned, they died. They died spiritually first, and then they died physically.
Yeah.
And every person that came into the world after that point came into the world in that same state, dead spiritually. What's our need? Life. Jesus Christ is the only one that has life. And when we respond to that gospel message, salvation takes place. We're rescued from death and placed into life. As John wrote in chapter 5 of his great gospel, whoever believes crosses over from death to life. That's salvation. Have you been made alive together with Christ? If you have, you know it, because God has sent his Spirit to live inside of you, and his Spirit is telling you that you are alive in him. That's the helmet of salvation. Put it on, wear it, and protect that mind of yours. Anchor it to truth. That's what this armor is all about.
And that's Basic Gospel. And this is Basic Gospel. We'd love for you to be a part of it at 1-800-677-9377. If you have a Bible passage that you just can't quite understand, if you'd like some clarification on it, if you have some particular life issue that you're facing that you'd like some guidance on, if you'd like to enter into the discussion about spiritual warfare that we've been talking about this week and this month, why, we would encourage you to be a part of that as well. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Ray in Edison, New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Ray.
Hi. Good afternoon, Bob. I enjoy listening to you. And it's somewhat like, I would like to be direct in a question, but first of all, you're a blessing to a lot of people because of your direct explanation of what it is all about being saved. I think this is a lot of churches who instructed everybody to do this and that, when in fact, it's as simple as what you said, saved through Christ, dying on the cross. Now, my question is, this is something that is very perplexing because, you know, fundamentally, on the historical point of view, Jesus had 12 apostles, and one of them was Judas, and Judas was a supposed to be a follower of Christ. But at the end, he killed himself. Now, my pointed question is, because this is always asked about it, is was Judas saved or not?
Well, Ray, here's the answer to that. None of the disciples had been born again before Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That didn't take place until the day of Pentecost. So, for example, Peter looked at Jesus, looked at him right in the eye, and said, "Lord, I would never deny you. All the others may fall away, but I will never deny you. Not me, not good old Peter." And before the night ended, before the rooster crowed, he had denied the Lord three times. Why? Because he was trying to do it on his own. He had not been born again at that particular point. He had not been made alive with Christ. That didn't happen until after the ascension, after Jesus ascended into heaven. When he ascended into heaven, God granted him the Holy Spirit, and then he poured that Spirit out on people on the day of Pentecost. And then from that point forward, people could be born again. They could be made new in their spirits, and they could receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Judas, though he was always the son of perdition, he was in it not to follow Jesus. He was in it for his own personal gain. And I think when you read some of the passages about Judas, you see that picture emerging. He was always there trying to figure out how to turn it for his advantage. And he was taking money out of the treasury. He was doing all sorts of stuff. And so when the Jewish leaders came to him and said, "We'll offer you 30 pieces of silver," boy, his eyes lit up. Man, they were talking his language. That's what he was in it for. And so he just carried out what his character was all about. And Jesus knew that from the get-go. I mean, it wasn't a surprise to Jesus that Judas betrayed him.
Yeah, but after that, he sort of kind of had a remorse about what he did, that he went back to the...
Remorse is different from repentance and faith. There's a lot of people that feel sorry, and the reason they feel sorry is not because of what they've done necessarily, but because they got caught.
Yeah, it didn't work out
the That's right. It didn't work out the way they wanted it. So remorse is a lot different than repentance. Judas never had that point in life where he wanted to turn away from the old and embrace the new through faith in Jesus.
I think that's a good explanation about that. I think it is because that is a constant, you know, each discussion among people who says, you know, Judas must have been saved. But I said, I can't believe that. But again, this is a good reinforcement that you have just explained to me well. Well, praise God for your ministry, and I hope I can, in one way or another, help you out.
We would greatly appreciate that, Ray, and we just appreciate you being on the broadcast today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of our offer this month, Operation Screwtape, just to say thank you, okay?
Thank you very much, Bob, and God bless.
And you as well, and thank you for those kind words at the beginning of the conversation. You hang on, Ray. We'll get this book to you.
Yes, indeed. That book is available to all of our listeners, Bob and Richard, as you well know, for a gift of any amount to the ministry. It's called Operation Screwtape by Andrew Farley. And if you'd like to make a gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828. Our operator will be on duty up until 5 o'clock Central Time today. That's 1-800-727-2828. Or better than that, go online to basicgospel.net. You can do that now or across the weekend. BasicGospel.net for a copy of Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape, for a gift of any amount.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Bloomfield, New Jersey, and talk to our good friend Navarre. Hi, Navarre.
Hey, God bless you.
And to you as well. How can we help you today?
Yes, really quickly. Just want to get the explanation for Matthew 13, verse 52. Okay, God bless you.
Okay, well, thanks for your call, Navarre. It's a very interesting passage, Richard. It says this. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." What does that mean? What is he talking about there?
Well, he's been giving them a whole series of parables about the kingdom of heaven, and some people get it and some people don't. And he closes with saying this, and the way I've taken it is that in his context, there were many teachers of the law. Well, that's what rabbis and Pharisees and Sadducees did. They all taught the law. But when they understood the kingdom of heaven, then they knew that that law was fulfilled in the Messiah, and Jesus had identified himself as the Messiah. And then there would be all kinds of things that would change because they would understand. And now they can bring new treasures even out of the old law. And I think what he's saying is that you're right here on a transition point. You know, keep following me, watch what happens, and when I've died and been buried and raised again, and then when the Holy Spirit comes, of course he can't tell them that yet, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to understand things like you've never understood it before.
Absolutely. And we see that from this side of the cross.
Yes.
You know, when we understand that the Bible from start to finish is God's story of Jesus, God's testimony about his son, and we realize that all of the writings of the Old Testament, the writings of the law, the writings of the prophets, the writings of the poetic books, Psalms,
all the history,
all of that, is about Jesus. Every single word in the Old Testament is about Jesus. Well, until Jesus came, it was hard to really understand that. But now that Jesus is here, now that he has accomplished his work through death, burial, and resurrection, now that he is seated at the right hand of God the Father and has sent his Spirit into our hearts, the Spirit takes everything of the Lord Jesus and makes them known to us. So out of that old, we start seeing the treasures that were there. Mm-hmm. I think of the Passover feast in terms of the nation of Israel and their rescue from Egyptian bondage and their journey through the Red Sea and all of that, how that Passover was kind of the final piece to say for Pharaoh to come to that point and say, go, go, go. They were looking at it from a historical perspective, but now in Jesus, who is the Passover lamb, they see it in a completely different light, how it was foreshadowing what was going to take place and our ultimate redemption that has come to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the fact that death has no hold over us whatsoever. We're going to die physically, but guess what? We're going to get new bodies that will never die. We already have been given an eternal spirit that was made alive in Christ that will never die. And so all of that is part of what we saw in that Old Testament. So you see these treasures there, and you bring them forth, and they're all attached to Jesus Christ. That's the good news, and I think that's a powerful, powerful verse. And Navarre, thank you so much for your call today. Well, let's
1-800-677-9377. Let's call that number 1-800. We have plenty of time on the clock and plenty of open lines right now. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, we do want to mention our book, Operation Screwtape, The Art of Spiritual War by Andrew Farley. For a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, we want to put this into your hands as our way of saying thank you. We need your support. We need your partnership in the gospel. There are folks out there who need the simple, clear teaching of the Word of God. Religion complicates this gospel message so much, and there's so much confusion out there. And we are so grateful that through this radio broadcast, we have the opportunity to cut through some of that clutter, cut through some of that confusion, and just bring people to the simple, pure, powerful, life-changing message of Christ. If this ministry has touched you, has made a difference in your life, we ask you to join with us. A gift of $10 a month, $35 a month, $100 a month will be significant for this particular outreach. We've said time and time again that a gift of $35 a month will help us reach 100 people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And you do that every single month, you can just see the amount of people that you can impact, that you can influence by that particular ministry. And giving, investing in a ministry like this really is a ministry.
Sure.
And so we are asking you to minister to people in this particular way. Join with us, and to those who do, we want to say thank you. And our way of doing that this month is this wonderful resource, Operation Screwtape.
And you can find, of course, your best way to order yours and make your gift to Basic Gospel by going online to basicgospel.net or calling our operator at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828, up to 5 o'clock today, Central Time.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New York, New York, and talk with Frank, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Frank.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you. God bless you.
And to you as well.
As far as, you know, the topic of salvation, you know where I stand on that. But dealing with the verses that you were using before, to say that that the apostles were not saved before Christ was crucified is problematic.
They weren't born again. They had not received the Spirit, and that's what I was saying.
Right. That's problematic because, Bob, I'll tell you why. For several reasons, but let's just dwell on one for now. If you look in Mark chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus predicts, he predicts what's going to happen on the night, evidently in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says to them, you will all fall away, not just Peter, but all of them. And he cites, you know, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. The word fall away comes from the Greek word apostasia, and which is our word apostasy. And that's to fall away or to stand away from the faith. You can't fall away from something that you were never part of. And they actually fell from that point being believing in him. So they all of them certainly did fall away. It's not that they couldn't be re-justified after that, because they evidently were. But to say that they were not saved at that point before they fell away, Bob, you can't fall away from something that you were never standing on in the first place. You know what I mean?
Well, Frank, they were certainly followers. I mean, Peter and Andrew, as soon as Jesus said, come and follow me, they left boats and they followed. But they weren't getting, you know, the full story. I mean, Jesus stood and answered the question, who do you say that I am? And, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then as soon as Jesus said, you know, I'm going to die, I'm going to be delivered over to the hands of the leaders, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, but I'm going to be buried, and then on the third day I'm going to be raised back to life. They didn't have a clue as to what Jesus was talking about. And Jesus said that to them seven different occasions in his ministry, and on all seven, they looked at him as if he was an alien. We don't get it. We don't know what you're talking about. Why would you, the Messiah, die? So they were seeing things from a Jewish perspective, not from a true God's purpose and mission perspective. And so they had never received the Holy Spirit. They had never been made new. That doesn't mean that they weren't followers and that God had not preserved them for that day when he was going to give the gift of salvation. It just simply means that they had not truly been born again, as we would know what being born again is today.
Well, they certainly believed that he was the Christ.
Absolutely.
No doubt about that. There were people in the Old Testament that even before Jesus came, that were saved.
Well, yeah,
they were saved.
What
I'm saying is it's the actual word apostasy, Bob, that we have to dwell on. If we look up the word apostasy, you see what that means. and it's to fall away from the faith. And people do it all the time. They do it in our day today. They've done it back in the Old Testament times, and they did it even while they were Christ.
Well, Frank, you know, I know your stance, and you know, as far as the disciples being saved and then falling away and then being resaved, I don't buy into that. I think there's another way to explain it. But Frank, you know, I sure appreciate you, and I'm grateful that you pick up the phone and call, and we can dialogue. I think that is just a wonderful thing, and God bless you, my friend.
God bless you. It's a pleasure to talk to you fellas, too.
Okay.
Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Frank. Frank. Let's go to Mount Vernon and talk with Oscar. Hi, Oscar.
Yes, sir. There is a place in the book of Revelation I don't understand. It speaks about a number 666, and it talks about buying and selling. No one can buy unless you have a mark of a beast. I don't understand what does that mean. Is the buying and selling referring to like the gospel?
No, I don't think it's talking about the gospel. I think it's just talking about the world system. I mean, yeah, the economic
life in general
system. And 666 is just the number. You know, many folks, depending on kind of your point of view as far as Revelation is concerned, many people think that was Nero from back in the day. He certainly, his name adds up to that number, and so many people think it was him. Others would say, hey, there's a guy that whose name will add up to 666 in the future, and he's going to be a devastating person. The spirit of Antichrist is going to just exude from him in such a powerful way, and folks are going to fall at his feet and worship him, so much so that they're going to be marked out as those who belong to him. And so his system that he puts in place is going to be available to them. Those of us who are in Christ, we don't have to worry about that. We've already been marked out by God. We've been sealed by him and given the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing where we will go when we die.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Oscar. Thanks for your call. Well, let's quickly go to Bridgeport, Connecticut, and talk with Mike. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just had a quick comment question, comment/question, and then I could hang up if you would answer it. And basically what it is a gentleman called a few calls before in reference to Judas and I think taking his life or being saved. And I was just wondering, I thought of 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, and just wondering if that in any way refers to destruction, somebody destroying their body or suicide. If you could answer that question for me, I'd appreciate it.
Well,
and God bless you. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome, Mike. Thanks for the call. I think in the context, it's not talking about an individual person. It's talking about the body of Christ.
The church. Yeah.
So it's anybody that tries to destroy the church, tries to destroy the body of Christ. That's what that particular passage is talking about. Well, Mike, you hang on. We'll send you a gift just for being on the program today. Thanks for your call, my friend.
And we appreciate everybody who joined to participate in the program today, and for those of you who tuned in to be benefited by what you've heard, we hope that has transpired. We are a listener-supported ministry on the air only because of your prayers and your financial support. And as a way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount, you'll receive a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape. That's for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Call 1-800-727-2828 to make your gift and request your copy. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828, up to 6 o'clock Eastern today, or visit us online at basicgospel.net. A reminder, too, that all of the resources that we talk about on Basic Gospel are available through our store at basicgospel.net. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net. To review what you hear each day on this broadcast, get on the list. Click subscribe at basicgospel.net, and you'll receive an email each day with a link to the most recent day's broadcasts. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net to get on the email list. And if this broadcast has found a favorable place in your day, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And be sure to tell a friend about Basic Gospel. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again Monday after a great weekend of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.